Today's Perek B'Tanach is Shoftim Perek Yud. And so yesterday we learned of the horrific end of the guy who was very unprovidentially named the father of the king. As I say, it's always a dangerous name. These Elimelechs, Avimelechs, always getting into trouble. And Vayokom, Achrei Avimelech, Oshiat Yisrael, Tola Ben Pua Ben Dodo, Ish Yisachar, V'hu Yoshev B'Shamir B'Har Ephraim. After Avimelech's death, there was a three-year period, Tola ben Pua, the son of Dodo, and this was a Shefet from Yisachar, who lived now in Shamir Bahar Ephraim. We see that Har Ephraim, we've already mentioned that Har Ephraim is called Har Ephraim as the general range of mountains, but that it includes areas of many of the other Shvatim. We already saw from Binyamin, we saw that they were saved by Har Ephraim. Vayishpot et Yisrael 23 shana, and he was a shofet for 23 years, vayomot, vayikaver b'shamir. He was buried in Shamir and Har Ephraim and was able to maintain the level of at least Avodas Hashem that was still around from the days of the Yerubal. Vayokom acharav Ya'ir HaGiladi, as the Gemara points out that the Sefer Shoftim includes a very broad range of personalities. Some of these personalities are, to say the least, rather flamboyant. So we begin with the story of Yoir HaGiladi. We don't know very much about him. The Gemara points out that there are really two very different types of Shoftim and that they appear actually in one pasuk. When Shmuel sums up the period, he says, Vayishlach Hashem et Yerubal, et Bedan, et Yiftach, et Shmuel, after saying Hashem, Asher Asat Moshe Vat Aaron. And the Gemara points out that this means that we're going to say that Yerubal, of course that's Gidon, Bedan as we'll say Shimshon, Yiftach, we're going to start talking about in the next parak. These are Shakala Katuv Shlosha Kale Olam. These are people that are lightweights, insubstantial, flimsy personalities, flamboyant in the strangest way. Together with Shlosha Gdole Olam, Moshe, Aaron, Shmuel, In other words, call mission itmaneh parnasa latzibur. Whoever is the one that is the shofet, afilu hu kal shebekalim, hariu ke abir shebabirim arishonim. He is considered to be the equivalent of the greatest. As it says, ubata lakranim v'aluviyim ala shofeta sheyeh bayamim ahem. Each door gets the leadership that expresses it. And one cannot ever ask the question of Mahayaki Yamim Harishonim Hayutovi Meila Shalom Yechokma Sha'alta Alzos as Kahelis puts it. So therefore, we have here a transition, really, into the period of vast flamboyancy. We began with Yerubal Yiftach, clearly small though. Compare a person like a Gidon to Moshe, Aaron, Shmuel, insubstantial. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, these are the people that actually held off the regressions into Avodah Zarah, gave something unique each to his door. At the very least, prevented further degeneration. This particular parak is the transition between the beginning of flamboyancy and its greatest expression, as we'll see in Yiftach, particularly in Shimshon, a period that would, in the end, lead us to the Yomim, in which it was Dor Sheshofet et Shoftav, and in the end brought us to Malchut and the next Sefer, which describes the creation of that Malchut. That is one element of the transition of this Perek. The other element, as we'll see, is a transition in the feelings, Kiveyachol, the psychology, Kiveyachol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the relationship of Klal Yisrael to the nature of Avodat Hashem. But that remains to be seen. Let us begin then with Ya'ir. Ya'ir HaGiladi, he was a shofet, really, for 22 years. And his flamboyancy was in terms of his family. See, he had 30 banim. Now, these 30 sons were rochvim al 30 ayarim, and 30 ayarim lahem, which is, of course, a play on words. So the first ayarim refers to colts, and the second ayarim refers to cities. But you get the picture. So there were 30 kids on 30 colts, but it sounds like Madeline. With 30 little cities that would take. And he, because he liked envisioning himself as the original Ya'ir ben Menashe, so the cities were called Chavot Ya'ir, you know. just like the old days. So lehem yikaru chavod Ya'ir ad hayom hazeh asher ba'eretz hagil. Vayomot Ya'ir vayikaver bekamon. And so he then died, and then we ended up with Tzaras. And that's really, in a sense, that's the entire history of these people, is that they prevented the restoration of the Avodah Zorah. Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael la'asot hara b'inei Adonai. Vayavdu et ha-ba'alim v'et ha-ashtarot v'et Elohei Aram v'et Elohei Tzidon v'et Elohei Moab v'et Elohei b'nei Amon v'et Elohei Plishtim, etc., etc., etc. Now this, we'll see, is not just, there's seven Avodah Zorahs listed here. And these seven Avodah Zorahs are going to be brought out later on by the Navi in this parak as being such a slap in the face, connected to the seven Yeshuas that Agadosh Baruch Hu was going to refer to, that we're talking about in this parak no events. We're talking about psychology. The psychology of Bnei Yisrael on the one hand, and Kavayocho, the psychology of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response on the other. We've already seen that Shoftim is an interesting book in that it defines patterns. It consciously sets aside Prokin. It was that opening parak that says, look, this is what the book is about. It's about weirdos. It's about cycles, and it's about these crazy patterns that people can't seem to get out of. That's the Ein Chalifot Lama that we discussed today. Some people never get out of their pattern. They're in that same suit all the time. And this is now a parak, in a sense, a segue parak, between the period in which at least there was Avedas Hashem. Now, there may have been weird things going on in the background and some hobby in terms of setting aside things for the Baal for 7 years, you know, things like that. But there was never a sense of a breakdown in any relationship to Avodas Hashem. This segue between that period and the second period of the Shoftim is Vayazvu et Adonai v'lo avadu. There was no Avodas Hashem whatsoever. So the Medrash points out this means even b'shutafut. We know that there's a whole concept of shutafut. To a goy, there's even shitas that hold that there's no iser of shutafut. Now, the only iser of a zorah to a goy is where there's no shituf. If it's only the Holy Ghost or the Son, that's bad news. But if there's also the Father, nishkeferla. So at least people remember there is a God. Over here, there's a fantastic Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara says that, you know, that turmus, like the fool kind of stuff, that is the thing that completely undoes Rishayim. Why? Because it's inedible. It's bitter. It's awful. In order to get it to actually be edible, you have to boil it, says the Gemara, 7 times. And then, okay, you're certainly not going to make a meal out of it. So what do? The Druze sell it in those little paper cups. You eat it as a snack. Those are like popcorn. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the turmus, at least they know to make for dessert. Okay, so I'm bitter. So you don't like me. So it's no fun being Eved Hashem. But the turmus you can also throw out the window. But what do? You sit there. You boil it down. So you can't boil down the Torah a little bit. You have a boiled down Torah. At least keep it for dessert, like the turmus. But even the turmus they couldn't do for me. It's incredible. We talk about boiled down Gemara. But even that there's no interest in. Just to keep it as a dessert. Velo avadum, garnish. Absolutely no connection to me at all. So now these absurd, these silly, ridiculous things, that you've got room for. But to make me a dessert, even not. Vayichar af Adonai b'Yisrael, vayinkirim b'yad plishtim uv'yad b'nei Amon. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry. Okay, he's gotten angry before, but we're going to see that he's fed up. And he gives them over into the hands of the plishtim, into the hands of b'nei Amon. Vayir atzu, and they break, vayirotetzu, and they crush it, b'nei Yisrael. Bashanayi, that very year that Ya'ir died, immediately, this is what happened. It was not a gradual growth like we saw before, in which they start coming in, vayifshutu, and gradually there's a collapse. The instantaneous nature of the death of the Shofet and the taking over shows us the extent at which the Amida of the Schus of a Shofet literally stands between the Puranut. The instant Ya'ir dies, the same year they're already kaput. And this goes on for 18 years. Shmoneh Esrei Shana. It kol b'nei Yisrael, when we say b'nei Yisrael, we don't mean the whole country. We mean kol b'nei Yisrael asher be'Eiver HaYarden. We're talking about all of those who were in Eiver HaYarden. Now, this makes us think, wait a minute, so what's unique about them? They were the only ones who didn't participate in the wars. They were the ones who were Shalom Aleinav. So that, okay, you know, there's a little bit of learning from the Shofet and so on, but in terms of feeling the connection to the destiny of Yisrael, there was no connection. And therefore, there was a greater sense of assimilation than the actual Aveda of Aveda Zara itself. It's a remarkable thing, because we find that very much today. Because you find whole sections of Klal Yisrael who are very interested in learning. They'll sit with the Shofet. They'll take the lessons of the religion, whatever it is. But to feel part of the destiny of Yisrael, we're going to join up with their tzaras, we're going to go fight in their army. It's not important. This is what happened in Eivor HaYarden. These were the people that suffered from the Plishtim, who are all the way on the other side of the world, basically. And the Amori, okay, the Amori are next to them. So they were completely crushed. And we're referring to Dafka. That's as if the Pasuk wants to make it clear. Vayiratsuvi wrote to B'nai Yisrael. But which B'nai Yisrael? Et kol B'nai Yisrael she be'Eivor HaYarden, be'eretz HaAmori asher be'Gilad. That's who I'm referring to, that were crushed and broken during this period.
Isn't this the same
fight first? What's that? That's what's interesting, but since there had been a collapse,
early fighting,
and that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was chashish in the beginning. That you guys, Yoshua was able to maintain them, and they had a complete understanding. And they were the ones, Bedafka, who were afraid that they were going to end up splitting off. Right? And Bnei Yisrael had the same suspicions. Maybe this Mizbeach really is an act of splitting off. And Lamaisa, there is a psychology here of just leave us alone. Now, that came out very strongly in the story of Sukkot and Penuel. No, we should help. You've done something for us. And that was so important to teach them. No. That's everybody. Which is itself part of the amazing lesson over here. And this is something that people, I think, are gradually becoming aware of, Bismaneno. Because also a fascinating, this was a development. This was part of what Gideon was basically trying to do. When he went ahead and attacked Sukkot, and he attacked Penuel, which was a much stronger reaction than Dvorah's sharp sting rebuke, as the Dvorah, to Lama Yashavta Ben HaMishpatayim, to Reuven, and all the other Shvatim, that Lobo, Lezrat Hashem, and Oru Meroz, and so on. Here we have he actually killed people. He attacked the Migdal. He killed people in the city. This has got to stop. And here we see, indeed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt exactly the same way.
The very people who God, they are worshiping, and the one who
are... We're going to get to that. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes that point in a moment. So this very shaykh to our times, that people are becoming more and more aware of the bifurcation between not those who are from and those who are not from, but between those who have a sense of the destiny of Am Yisrael and those who don't. And that's a very deep change. It's the same kind of change that we've spoken about, a change in the identification, being a religious identification, which is Judaism, and Yahadut, and Yehuda, versus an identification as Yisrael. And that becomes the stress here in the Pasuk. We're talking about the aspect of Bnei Yisrael here. We're not talking about how religious they are. And that, as I said, this is like only the last 5 years that it's becoming, that people sense that you could be a totally assimilated Jew, despite the fact that you're keeping all the mitzvahs and learning Torah, Yama V'Layla, because in terms of being a Bnei Yisrael, you're completely assimilated. So that you have a Yahadut, but it's not a Yahadut of Bnei Yisrael. So here you have all of these people with their beautiful Mizbeach that shows how deeply connected they are to Avodas Hashem, but Lamaisa, they're totally disconnected. And from there, Vayavru Bnei Amon, from there they went and affected everybody else as well. That was warring. It wasn't the crushing that we find in the Eivor HaYarden. But and things were getting very tight, and as usual, the reaction to things getting tight is, okay, I guess it's time for one of those tshuva rallies. So v'yizaku b'nei Yisrael al Adonai lemor chatanu lach v'kiyazavnu et Eloheinu v'na'avod et ha'be'alim. Okay, now it's your turn. But this time, as we said, this was a transitional period, and this is a segue. This time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not respond to the words of Teshuvah. And instead, he sends a Navi that responds as follows. Vayomer Adonai el b'nei Yisrael, halo mi Mitzrayim, umin Amori, umin b'nei Amon, umin Plishtim, v'tzidonim, v'amalek, umaon. Read that. That's 7. So, they were all lachatzu atchem. Okay, every single time. You always have this idea, well, at least we can always cry out to Hashem, we'll always come to the rescue when things get tight. So now they're tight. So I guess you're figuring, you got my buttons to push, right? Well, no more buttons, because for these 7 times that I was Mashiach, you could have at least treated me like a turmus. Instead, there was a complete rejection, and now you've got your 7 gods. Atem azavtem oti, and all your avoda is v'tavdu elohim acherim. I'm fed up. I'm not doing this anymore. No more buttons. And you know what? You got so many great gods. Why talk to them? You figure they do a better job. They'll take good care of you. Goodbye. Okay, just one more time. Chatan. This is an amazing response, because there's only one other place that we find this response, and it became tachanut. Because what they said was, Aseya talanu kikol atov beinecha. This is what David said. Vayomer David al God, tsar li mod, exactly words over here, vateitzer li Yisrael ma'od, tsar li mod, exactly these words, except that nipla na biyad Hashem, Aseya talanu kikol atov beinecha, you punish us. But don't give us into the hands of these goyim. Achatzileinu na hayom hazeh. So there too, that's the getter of tachanun, is accepting all dinim upon oneself as if you're already lost, but that it should kuloi be mitachad yodav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what they said. Whatever you feel has to be done to us, we accept any judgment, but just not with these goyim. And they actually went ahead and they recognized they couldn't just talk anymore. They actually got rid of these idols. Now this is an amazing pasuk, and some of the Rishonim say this is the main point of the whole parak. So the Medrash says, if it wouldn't be, this is the Elio Zuta that says this, if it wouldn't be for a pasuk that writes this, nobody would have the guts to say such a thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just announces that he's had it. I can't take it, right? And I'm not coming, you understand? No more buttons. Goodbye. And then, Vatikzar Navsho Ba'amal Yisrael means he couldn't take what Israel was going through. Oh, damn it, all right. So in other words, this is the way, because of that, there's two ways of reading this passage. Vatikzar Navsho Ba'amal Yisrael, the simple meaning is that I'm sick and tired of this constant drudgery. We never get anywhere. We go, that's Amal. Amal can mean just pain, but Amal is also the drudgery of pain, in which if somebody's going through a psychological session with a teenager, that's Amal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tikzar Nafsho Ba'amal Yisrael. The truth is, the beginning of the Medrash really takes that approach. That first HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very happy in the world, you know? It's only when Adam and Yisrael come around that makes him miserable. And it gets to the point in which there's just Tikzar means there's no more room. I got no more energy for this. It's exactly the same way that a parent would say, I just can't take it anymore. I just, you know, let's move on. I can't take it. So in that sense, the Vatiktar Nafsho means Ein lo korat ruach, the Lashon HaMedrash, Ein lo korat ruach v'chol olam kulo. I just don't enjoy myself anymore. You know, this used to be fun, building universes. It's getting to be a drudge, a bore. I don't like it anymore. But then, Lamaisa, it's 300 years that we have this ridiculous pattern. And yet at the end of it, we find, Chazruva Asur Tshuva, V'kibelatam B'tshuva, after announcing it's not going to happen. And therefore, Ilmalei Mikra Katuv, Iev Shalamra, Shenemar Vayasiru Ate Eloheya Nechar Mikirbam, Vayavdu At Hashem, Vatiktsar Nafsho Bama Yisrael. So the Vatiktsar Nafsho, this is a brilliant medrash, because what it's saying is that the very fact that we're using the anthropomorphism of Kitzirat Nefesh, I just don't have any more room for this, in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's disgust with an endless pattern, is itself the makar of the nature of tshuva, of the response to tshuva. Because in the same way that we're willing to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as having Kitzirat Nefesh from the process, he can also have Kitzirat Nefesh from the pain, both of which we understand in a human being are related. It's that if I don't have the kayach for all of this drudgery, I also don't have the kayach to sit around watching you go through hell. It's the same kind of idea. In the cheapest terms, the simplest terms, a parent, let's say, has a baby that keeps waking up in the middle of the night. You know, the only thing you really can do is you let the kid scream for a few nights in a row. But then there's a vatiktsar nafsho, right? I don't have the energy for this. So both are true. I don't have the energy for the, you know, this is ridiculous. You get, go to sleep already, you know, good thing. But on the other hand, when you try the three-night screaming business, it's the same vatiktsar nafsho. I just don't have the kayach for this. And that is Kaviyachol, says the Medrash. That's what this pasuk is bringing out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has both of those elements that a parent expresses. He's both disgusted with the whole thing. On the other hand, I can't sit around just listening to you cry. So Mumela, the tshuva is effective even though I've said I'm not going to have my buttons pushed anymore. You understand? And this, of course, is something that is very common.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness, exactly. Vayitzaku b'nei Amon, vayachanu b'gilad, vayasfu b'nei Yisrael, vayachanu b'mitzpah. And so as a result of this tshuva movement, obviously, the Goyim were getting nervous. And so they gathered together their army. I mean, every time the Jews have gotten religion, it's always been a problem. It's probably this new Judaist view, jihad stuff, you know. We got to fight terrorism when it begins. So they gather their army together, and B'nai Yisrael also gathers an army. Vayachanu b'mitzpah. Vayomru ha'am sarei Gilad ish areyehu. And so the leaders of Gilad speak to each other, and they say, look, we don't know really who it is that can be a leader. But Miyahisha Shayacheli Lachem Bibne Amon, Yela Rosh Lakho Yoshve Gilad. The guy who's got the energy to get things moving, we will accept him. But we can't appoint anyone until someone arises. And this is now the introduction to the story of Yiftach, which is one of the prime examples of the Kalei Olam that the Gemara uses among the Shoftei Yisrael. It's because of this that Shoftim is not one of the yeshiva favorite books, even though we call it the Sefer HaYashar, according to one on the other.